Good morning. It's good to see you in worship this morning, especially as we gather around our Lord's table. I'm going to hand over to Rosemary, who's going to take us through some of the intimations.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially any newcomers or visitors. Doors open day, so maybe be one or two people come in. We celebrate Holy Communion during our service this morning, and the communion table is open to all who love the Lord Jesus. Kirk session, just a reminder that there will be a brief Kirk session meeting after worship this morning. First responder training, this event will be held on Wednesday, 24th September at 7 p.m. here in the church and is open to all. And please let me know if you'd like to attend. And thank you to Alison for organising the training. Lego Club event, this is in Cairnhill Church next Saturday, 27th of September, between 10 and 11:30. The kids get to build something from a well-known Bible story. The event is free, but children need to be accompanied by a parent. Tea and coffee will be available for adults, and more information from Irene, who's upstairs. Harvest Thanksgiving, we will celebrate Harvest Thanksgiving next Sunday, the 28th of September, which is also the last Sunday of the month, and tea and coffee will be available after worship. Our next coffee morning will be on Saturday the 4th of October from 10 till 12. So please come along for tea, coffee, home baking and a good chat, and also to browse the bric-a-brac stall too. There are other local church events are happening, which are on the printed order of service sheets with the details of the Harvest Home Meal at Oakley Church, and also a charity concert at Salon Church. And everybody's encouraged, really, to support these events if they can. Also have another intimation, which Alistair has given me this morning. It's the Protect Life Tour 2025. And they're meeting in Gillespie Memorial Church in Dunfermline on the 8th of October at 7:30. This is in regard to the new assisted suicide legislation, which will soon be debated at Holyrood. And these events give the opportunity to consider a theological and medical response and to provide tips on political engagement. There is an email contact there, and there's leaflets out in the vestibule if anyone is interested in that. Other intimations, there are further intimations on the printed sheet which can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you don't have a copy. And finally, for those on Zoom, here is a look at today's order of service. Thank you.
Perhaps I should add one more intimation, because if I don't, I may not get lunch. And that is to say that Gilbert and Sullivan, our society, are organising a fundraising ceilidh. It's next Saturday evening. It's in Limekilns Church. And if you would like a ticket, phone the manse and Karen will happily sell you a ticket. Let's worship God now. We're going to sing part of Psalm 24, which you'll find at hymn number 19, Ye Gates, Lift Up Your Heads on High.
Thank you.
Almighty God, we present before you our offering, asking you to bless it as it is used in the work of your church. Receive all that we offer of our time, talent, and money, we pray, to your glory. Amen. Let's worship God now in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we gather in worship, we seek your blessing upon us. God, our Father, you created all that is. You are the giver and sustainer of life. In your grace and mercy, you reach out to embrace. We know that your love is infinite and eternal. Lord Jesus, you through whom all things were made, who invite us to this place, who gives us a place at this table, we rejoice in your love and your desire to share with us the bread and wine of communion. Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, you who transform and renew us, by your power and presence, our thoughts and words are made fit for worship in the heavenly places. As we gather here in your presence, Almighty God, we know that we are not here because of any right or righteousness. We gather in humility, knowing that Jesus invites us to his table, knowing that we are loved and offered salvation. As we gather in your presence, we know who and what we are. We are here also to confess and seek your forgiveness. So we ask you to hear us now as we open our minds and hearts to you, as we seek forgiveness for the wrong that is there. Through Jesus we are made clean. Our guilt is taken to the cross, and there we are made right with God. Your loving embrace fills us with joy that is everlasting. You give us a peace that is beyond anything of this earth. We pray that we may be faithful to you in worship and in service. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, receive our praise and worship through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is now the third Sunday in our series of services on the theme of the season of creation. Next week we're going to celebrate Harvest Thanksgiving. In the celebration guide that was produced for this year's season of creation, it's noted that this is also the 1700th anniversary of the Nicene Creed. Last week we noted that the Nicene Creed begins with a declaration that God the Father is creator, but goes on to declare that Jesus is the one through whom all things were created. That picking up the first verses of John's Gospel. I'm sure you're not going to be surprised that in the Creed, having talked about Father and Son, the Creed moves on to talk about the Holy Spirit. And here too, in the Nicene Creed, a recognition of the place of the Holy Spirit in creation. The declaration is, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. Not a surprise to find that in the Creed. We only need to go to the first verse of the Bible. Right at the beginning of the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we are told that the Spirit of God hovers over the waters. When we turn to the New Testament and in the account of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan, the Spirit descends like a dove. Through the years, we have noted that there is one word used for spirit, breath, or wind, whether it is a single Hebrew word in the Old Testament or a single Greek word in the New Testament. We think of the Holy Spirit as the breath of life. We regard the day of Pentecost, as it's recorded in the book of Acts, as describing the birth of the church. The Holy Spirit gives life to the church. This morning, our New Testament reading from Romans reminds us that our life in Christ is through the Holy Spirit. In our Old Testament reading, we're going to read a psalm that reminds us that the earth is the Lord's. In the first verses, we are reminded that creation belongs to God. In the latter verses, words that are very often associated with communion services. Certainly, in my youth, the psalm that we sang at the beginning of this service, that we know as Ye Gates, was almost always and maybe even exclusively used in communion services. Even before I came to faith, I understood that there was something especially holy about church on a communion Sunday. And in Psalm 24, we're asked a question. Who may stand in his holy place? Who can stand before God? And in our reading from Romans, a reminder that through the Spirit we have life and peace. That is life and peace with God. Rob is now going to read to us Psalm 24 and then a passage from Romans chapter 8.
The first readings from the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 24, verses 1 to 10. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him. Who seek your face, God of Jacob? Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. And the New Testament reading from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 to 9. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Hymn 559, There is a Redeemer. Back in the 1970s, John V. Taylor, an Anglican theologian and bishop, wrote a book on the Holy Spirit entitled The Go-Between God. This was based on a series of lectures that he gave in the late 1960s. In a reprint of that book, there was a brief description of what the book says, written this century in the 21st century. John Taylor's most famous book is a reminder that the Holy Spirit urges us toward a communal humanity. Taylor's is a message especially pertinent in an age of crushing multinational capitalism and a rising tide of individual greed and fear of the other. The Nicene Creed, from that Council of Churches in the year 325, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. The Holy Spirit is promised by God through Jesus as his presence with us. We come across a very basic promise that is presented in all sorts of ways. Some of us will have been asked this as a question. Some of us will have declared this as a statement. The question is, do you believe? The statement might be, I believe, or as a definition of who we are as church, we believe. And the words are that we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and confess Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. Many of us can say with certainty This is the heart of who we are as Christians. But with equal certainty, we struggle to understand who and what God is as both one and three. Maybe understanding God as Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus as eternal Son of God is easier than trying to understand God as the Holy Spirit. Or maybe it's the other way around. Sometimes we have a problem with fully understanding Jesus as one who is fully human and yet is fully God. We cannot understand the entirety of God because we are finite and he is infinite. One of my lecturers at New College, when I was studying theology, said the answer to very difficult theological understandings is simply to declare that something is a mystery. But he then went on to say that this is like waving a flag in surrender rather than facing up to the challenge of trying to get to know God better. I think he was telling us that our minds are a God-given gift and maybe we should be using them. In Taylor's book, we find a way of understanding the Holy Spirit as that presence which unites us in God, to God, and with each other. In the Nicene Creed, the Holy Spirit is described as the giver of life. In this season of creation, we cannot but remember that life is a gift of God. Physical life cannot be divorced from spiritual life. All life is a gift of God. Sometimes Paul's words about flesh and spirit have been misinterpreted to mean that somehow the physical is irredeemable, that the body is evil and the spirit is good, meaning that what we concentrate on is the spirit rather than anything that is physical. Arthur Christie, the moderator of Presbytery, in his opening devotions yesterday, was talking about the church as the body of Christ, that we are interdependent. It's an illustration used many times by Paul. And just as we cannot divide the physical elements of our body, so we cannot divide up body, mind, and spirit. You only need to think about how difficult it is to concentrate your mind when you've got toothache. Or if you're really worried about something, how it affects your body. Body, mind, and spirit belong together. In the Nicene Creed, we have already talked about God the Father as creator of all things, seen and unseen. And last week, we talked about Jesus, through whom all things were made, and who chose to share our physical humanity. I'm aware I'm kind of ringing as I speak. Could you take down the microphone a wee bit, Derek? I would hate to wake you up with feedback. This week, we are reminded that the Holy Spirit is the giver of life. Our lives are a gift of the Holy Spirit. And since the earth is the Lord's, that too must be that the life of the world is a gift of the Holy Spirit. To use without thought, to abuse without conscience, cannot be the right way to live as God's people. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What Paul describes as living according to the flesh is living by that selfishness that says, pleases me is right. This is the understanding that if we get a good feeling about something personally, then it has to be the right thing. And this is sometimes masqueraded as freedom. The freedom that damages the earth, that damages others, and is in the end self-destructive. Jesus breaks the power of evil by his self-giving. He is broken so that we can be whole. This is what we say in communion. And we are told that communion is our proclamation of Jesus' death for us until his return. Jesus chose bread and wine not because they were special, but because they were ordinary. So that every time we break bread, meaning every time we eat, every time we take the cup, meaning every time we drink, we are to call to mind Jesus and the cost of our salvation. And yes, as a youngster, I realized there was something very holy about church when you had communion. But as I came to faith, I realized that it has nothing to do with the building, the table, the bread, or the grape juice or wine. It's all to do with Jesus' presence. This is the Lord's table. This is Jesus' invitation. This is his promise. The reality here is a spiritual reality in physical things. Through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, we recognize the things of God and know the presence of Jesus with us, bringing us to that place where we are children of the living God. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Here in the presence of God, through the Holy Spirit, we are able to sit at the Lord's table and to receive the bread and to receive the wine, not because we are special or holy, but because we are ordinary, and through the Spirit of God, we become holy. So we gather to celebrate and to know the spiritual reality of Jesus in the flesh. To know the reality of Jesus through the Spirit as we leave this place to live out our faith in the world. Amen. And now to our prayers for the world. I'm going to give you little bits of silence for your own thoughts as we pray. So let's pray now. Almighty God, we praise you for your goodness to us, for your creation, for making us part of this creation, for we are of this planet. The water, the sky, the flora and the fauna, all of this is yours, including us. We think of the life of the world and your calling upon humanity to care for creation. We think of those who have power, power through government and through wealth and through influence. We pray for the leaders of the earth that they may value what we have as a gift from you, that they may value fairness and justice and peace. We take a moment of quiet to pray for those in power. As we pray, we recognise our own responsibility to live in a way that honours your creation because it is your gift. To live in a way that gives life to others. To live in a way that respects the world of nature. To live in a way that brings an end to pollution and abuse of nature. To live in a way that remembers that this earth is finite. To live in a way that looks not too simply our present place, but to the future and future generations. We remember those across our world who live with the problems of unfairness, of poverty, of famine and hopelessness. We think of those who risk all to become migrants and refugees because the place they live cannot supply what they need. We think too of those who live in places of conflict and war, those who suffer from bomb and from bullet, from bitterness and hatred. We know the places. We have prayed for them often. So we remember before you the people of Gaza, the people of Ukraine, and so many other places of conflict and war. We take a moment to pray for peace and for justice. As part of your church, we remember your call to us that we should work for the good of the earth, that we are called to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, that your church in all its branches, all its denominations, all the places where you send us, we are called to be faithful first of all to you and to your kingdom. And as much as we pray your kingdom come, enable us to live out that kingdom. And so now we turn to you to offer our personal and private prayers for the people who are very close to us and in need of our prayer this morning. receive our prayers and answer our requests, for we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, if you're looking at the printed order of service, you'll find that my numerical dyslexia has struck again, because we're singing hymns. There are two one verses at 619 and 620. And the way we've normally sung this is 619, 620, and then 619. So we're going to sing as we prepare to meet at our Lord's table, Spirit of the Living God. Say together the words, and they are going to come up on screen. If you're using the hymn book, they're at 649. So that's another way of finding the words of the creed. So let's stand. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. And for us, for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us follow the example of our Lord in word and action. And as Jesus gave thanks before the meal, let us also remember and thank God for his mercies to us. Let us pray. It is right to give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, Creator and Lord. You created all things in heaven and on earth. You are the giver of life. You created humanity in your own image and gave us stewardship of the earth. When we and all humanity had fallen, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to reveal your love and to save us from sin and death. We gather at our Lord's table by his invitation. We pray, send your Spirit upon us, upon the bread and the wine, that we who eat and drink at the table may share the life of Christ our Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth. Bring in your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Bring us to that place where we know the unity of Christ, and in this bread and wine, a foretaste of eternal joy. And now, in the words that Jesus taught, we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We do this in obedience to Christ's example and appointment. On the night of his betrayal, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup and said, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, give us your peace. We receive the bread. Take this and eat it. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant, sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. Gracious God, we thank you for all that we have received at our Lord's table. You have given us the true bread of heaven. You have given us the cup of promise. You have united us in worship with your people on earth and in heaven. Grant that, strengthened by this fellowship and by the presence of your Holy Spirit, we may continue Jesus' work in the world. To your glory, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing praise, hymn number 622. We sing a love that sets all people free. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.